praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercies. Thank you for your presence and power working in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for every good thing you have released into our lives. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for making everything work together for our good. We thank you for your light that is shining in our hearts, in our minds, teaching us new things, new understanding, new truths, new life. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for helping us to grow into the knowledge of you. Thank you for opening our eyes to see things that we do not know before. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for those teachings we have learned on this platform during the previous Bible study classes. We thank you for how you have changed our lives through these teachings. We thank you for how you have helped us to apply those teachings and how you have produced great signs and wonders in our lives after we apply those teachings practically. Thank you, Father. I ask, O Lord, that as we would be learning more at your feet this evening, speak to everyone expressly by your Holy Spirit. We know that you are able to make us know the things we do not know. We know that you are able to make us learn new things and never forget them. Oh Lord, make us know new things even now as we learn in your presence. Make us know new things that will establish us strong in your word and in your will and in your ways. In the name of Jesus, I ask that your Holy Spirit take over this session, this class. I ask that your Holy Spirit speak to everyone here through my voice and words in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you're going to do beyond our expectations and requests. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. I believe that the Lord is here to teach you a lot and to make you understand everything that you will be taught. Last week we talked on angels being the fingers of the Holy Spirit. Angels being the fingers of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And I'm going to ask a question, just one question, based on what we talked about last week. Yeah. And the question is, I want you to tell me the personal revelation that I shared last week, the personal revelation that I said God gave me about his finger. Yeah. I said that God revealed to me something about the finger of God. Yeah. And I explained what you revealed to me. Yeah, so you can briefly remind me what I said. So that's the question. Yeah, so you can be typing that while we would move into today's topic. Yeah, I said something about the finger of God. Yeah, especially that God revealed to me personally how his finger is. Yeah. So you can type that as we move. I mean, you can type the answer as we move into the new topic for today. So today we are going to be looking at soul winning. Soul winning. And discipleship attracts a lot of angels. Soul winning and discipleship attracts a lot of angels. Yeah. So those who are busy with winning souls and discipling souls will be given a lot of angels. Those who are busy with winning souls into God's kingdom and discipling souls to grow into maturity, discipling souls to grow into becoming like Jesus in nature, in lifestyle, in character, in personality. So those who really get busy with doing that will have a lot of angels assigned to them from the Lord. So that is what we are going to be looking at today. So if you really want to encounter God's angels, get busy with winning souls into God's kingdom and with discipling souls, that is teaching. Discipleship has to do with teaching people. Yeah, evangelism, of course, evangelism also has discipleship inside of it. That is, discipleship is part of evangelism. Yeah. But preaching the gospel is the first part of evangelism. Yeah, so you can see that preaching the gospel is to win souls. I can also say discipleship is also to win souls. Yeah, because they are both included inside of evangelism. Yeah, I'm going to repeat myself. Evangelism include both preaching the gospel to win souls and discipling those souls that you are able to bring into the fold. Yeah, those souls you are able to bring into the body of Christ, into the church. Yeah, so discipling those souls is also part of evangelism. Yeah, because our salvation is not yet complete. I believe you know that. Your salvation is not yet complete. Your salvation becomes complete when you make it to heaven or to paradise, or when you make the rapture. Let's say the trumpet sounds now and Jesus appears in the sky. So if you are able to fly up with the saints during a rapture, then your salvation is complete. Or you are able to enter into paradise after you leave this world through death, then your salvation is complete. Yeah, so those who are busy trying to help us have complete salvation, they are also soul winners. They are those who are busy helping you and I to attain complete salvation, that is, to make it to heaven at last. They are also soul winners. Yeah, so don't think only those that go out on the street preaching, don't think only those ones are soul winners. Yeah, I mean evangelists that organize crusades or those who share tracts on the streets or preach very loud on the streets on different locations. Yeah, don't think that only those people are soul winners. Yeah, even those that take time to teach the people, or maybe I should say the new converts. So even those who take time to teach the new converts till they grow to become matured spiritually, to become matured in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of God's word, in the interpretation of God's word, and in becoming like Jesus, in character, in actions. So even those ones are also soul winners. And in fact, those ones do much of the work. Yeah. So someone who does discipleship do much work than someone who is just calling people into the church, who is just bringing in new converts. Yeah, that person does not do much work as the one who takes time, sit down to disciple the new converts, teaching them how to pray, how to fast, how to hear from God, how to live a righteous life. Yeah, so that is a very huge work. Yeah, so they are both soul winners. So those who get busy doing this kind of kingdom business or kingdom works, they always have angels assigned to them by God. Their ministries always attract angels, or their assignments, what they are doing for the Lord, always attracts a lot of angels. Yeah. So now we're going to be looking at some scriptures I want us to look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. All manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Yeah, the rest of this passage is very long, so I might not be able to read everything. So you can read the rest of the passage, the rest of Matthew chapter 10. You can read the rest on your own. Yeah, but here it says that Jesus gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. And to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then if you also check 8, verse 8, Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, he told them, okay, maybe I should read from verse 7. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Freely ye have received, freely give. Yeah. You can see that they were not to go preaching miracles. Jesus did not send them out to go and preach miracles like many pastors are doing today. Many evangelists, prophets, apostles, they are busy preaching miracles. But that is not the message of the kingdom. That is not the message from Jesus. Yeah. So he didn't say go and preach to people that you can heal them, you can cast out their demons, you can raise the dead. He didn't say go and preach miracles. Yeah. He said go and preach, saying that the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yeah, that is what Jesus sent them to go and preach. So anyone that is being sent by Jesus will receive the same message, or will be given the same message to preach. Yeah. So we don't go out there and say listen everyone, Jesus can heal your sickness, Jesus can take away your demons, Jesus can make you prosperous, Jesus can raise your dead back to life. That is not the message. So we shouldn't go out there and say that. Yeah. Because that is not the message of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom is repent. That was what Jesus also started to say. The message of the kingdom says repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the message of the kingdom. It's not, listen, you people come here, Jesus can open the blind eyes. Jesus can raise the dead. That is not the message. Yeah. I believe you are getting something. And of course, I'm not confusing you. I'm telling you the Bible. Yeah. The message is not go and preach miracles. The message is to tell them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and that they need to repent and be saved so that they will not perish. Yeah, that's the message of the kingdom. Yeah, because it's either you are part of the kingdom or you are against the kingdom. And for those who are against the kingdom, they will be crushed by the kingdom. They will be judged by God's kingdom and they will perish. Yeah, so that's the message. To bring people into the kingdom, to warn them of eternal damnation. That's the message. To warn people of eternal damnation and to show them that they can have eternal life, that they can be saved if they can repent, that they can be saved, that their souls can be saved, and that they can reign with Christ in His kingdom. That is the message. Yeah, so now, the part of heal the sick, that follows after we have preached the message. So that's one of heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers. Those ones follow after we have preached the gospel, after we have told them to repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yeah, then we can now heal the sick to confirm the message that indeed the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the kingdom of heaven is showing you mercy. Yeah. How do I put it? When we heal the sick, we are trying to say the kingdom of heaven has come, or the kingdom of heaven is doing this first, before you might not have the chance to repent again. So it's more like God showing the people mercy, trying to bring them unto Himself. Yeah, before they will not have that chance anymore. Yeah, so all the miracles, they are acts of God's mercy, God's grace, God's love. They are more like God trying to entice us into His kingdom. Yeah, and trying to confirm that if He can heal your sickness, He can also save your soul. Yeah, and He can also make you victorious over all the forces and powers of darkness. Yeah, so that is what the miracles are confirming. It's confirming that the kingdom of heaven is here. Maybe I should say the first dimension. Which is the invisible dimension of God's kingdom is already here. Yeah. And people should believe and repent. Yeah. So that is why God is healing the sick, raising the dead. Yeah, because by the time the other dimension comes, there will not be mercy. Yeah, that one comes with judgment. Yeah, the other dimension of God's kingdom is all about judgment and righteousness. It will not show mercy. Yeah, it will not show mercy. So everyone that practices sin shall be destroyed by God's kingdom. So the other dimension of God's kingdom has a lot to do with hunger, wrath, judgment. Yeah. And in fact, the judgment is even already happening. Yeah. But presently, God is still showing mercy, even though his judgment is also working alongside with his mercy. Yeah, but when the second dimension of God's kingdom comes upon us, mercy would be taken away. And that is why the rapture would have to precede that second dimension of God's kingdom. So God will first take away the sins, yeah, from the earth through rapture, so that he can deal with all the nations of the earth and destroy them all. You can read the book of Revelation, you will see the details. Yeah, so we are currently enjoying the first phase of God's kingdom. The first phase of God's government. Yeah, the government of God. We are currently witnessing the first phase. And that one has a lot to do with grace and mercy. Yeah, but the second phase have no mercy. Yeah. So when God do miracles like healings, deliverances, raise the dead, they are acts of his mercy, trying to bring us closer to himself. It's just like when a young man is trying to woo a woman, get a woman to accept his proposal. Yeah, trying to get a woman to love him, and then he comes with all kinds of gifts. Yeah, all kinds of gifts. Throwing many gifts at the woman to see if she will respond. Yeah, so that is just what Jesus is doing now. Yeah, so when he does the miracle, it's not as if that is his main intention. His main intention is to get married to us. The intention of Jesus is to have us as his bride. Yeah, to get us close to him. That is his intention. So all these blessings and miracles, they are just to show us that he loves us. Yeah, to show us how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, and how much he wants to save us from sin and from darkness. Yeah. So it is wrong to put the original message of the kingdom aside and just focus on all these benefits of the kingdom, as in benefits that comes from the kingdom, which many of them we end in this world. Yeah, if you get healed, you will still grow old and die. Even if Jesus raised your dead back to life, that person that was raised back to life will still grow old and die. Yeah. So if you look at all of these miracles that the apostles were doing, many of them, if not all of them, I mean the physical miracles, they end here on earth. Yeah. So those miracles must not replace the original message of the kingdom of God. So the miracles must not replace the original intention of Jesus for coming into this world and for dying on the cross of Calvary for our redemption. Yeah. We must not replace that message. I mean, we must not. For those of you that must preach to others, every one of us have been called to preach the gospel. Yeah. So maybe I should say to all of us that must preach the gospel, you must not replace the original message of the kingdom with anything. Yeah, so Jesus told them to first go and preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and that they should repent. Because that's what it means. When you tell people that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what you're saying is that repent so that that kingdom will save you and not destroy you. Yeah, that's what it means. Repent so that the kingdom will save you and not destroy you. Because if you refuse to repent, you will perish. Yeah, if you refuse to believe in the only begotten Son of Jesus and refuse to repent of your sins, you will perish. So that is the message of the kingdom. And that is what Jesus tells them to preach first. Yeah. So then those other acts of mercy, yeah, those other acts of God's mercy follows after the original message of the kingdom has been preached. Yeah, and it's a way of confirming that God really loved them and God really wants to save their souls from darkness. So God is more interested in our souls than our bodies or our pockets or our bank accounts. He's more interested in our souls. Yeah, so any other thing he does is because he wants your soul. Yeah, to show that he cares and that he loves us so much. So that is why he does every other thing. But what God wants is really your soul. And you must get this registered in your heart. Otherwise, you are going to miss it and you are going to lose the kingdom. Yeah. So even when God is blessing you, you need to continually remind yourself that all of these blessings is because God wants my soul. It's because He wants to save my soul. Because He wants my soul to make it to His kingdom. If you don't get this thing registered, you are gone. Yeah, because as I'm speaking right now, there are many Christians that can never make heaven again because they have already lost their soul to darkness. And God is still blessing some of these Christians. They still receive blessings from God. But whereas the kingdom has been taken away from them, but they still enjoy healing, deliverance, prosperity. Yeah, so that is how dangerous this gospel of grace is. So you must be very careful. Yeah, and also if you look at Mark chapter 16, towards the later part of that chapter, you will see where the Bible says that the Lord was walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. So signs and wonders are to confirm the word that we preach. It's to show the people that Jesus really saved. Because any God that can save a soul must be able to also heal the people of their sicknesses. Because your soul is not separate from your body. Neither is your soul separate from your spirit. They are wired together. Yeah, it's not like the way you have your kitchen separate from the toilet. Your toilet separate from the room. Your room separate from the living room. That's not how your soul, spirit, and body. That's not how they are. They are not separate. Yeah, though they are unique in function. Their functions are different, but they are not separate. The three are wired together. Your soul, spirit, and body, they are wired together, like they are intertwined together. Intertwined together. So anything that happens to one of them happens to all of them. Yeah, so that is why any God that claims to save a soul must be able to also save the body and must be able to save the spirit. And we have that God, and he's the only God that can save a soul, and that is Jesus. So if Jesus saves our soul, then he's proving it by healing our sicknesses. He's proving that he saves souls by healing your body, by liberating your spirit. Yeah. So that is the kingdom. So that is why as the apostles, as the disciples went about preaching the kingdom of God, they were also healing the sick and casting out devils, because they are all included in the salvation of human souls. They are not separate. Yeah. They are not separate. Before, I used to think like that. Yeah. But God really have delivered me from a lot of lies. I grew up believing so many lies. Yeah. But I thank God that today I'm free. Yeah. So they are not separate. They are not. But some preachers are out there, they are trying to separate the salvation of soul from the healing of the body and from other miracles. In fact, the salvation of your soul also has prosperity included. Saving your soul also includes you being blessed financially. Yeah, financial blessings also included in saving your soul. Yeah, because how can you survive? How can your soul survive if your body does not have food to eat? Yeah, and how can your body do well if it doesn't have good clothes? And it doesn't have a place to hide, a place to sleep. Yeah, because you can't go out there and stay inside rain, inside cold winter, and you know, without without proper clothing to cover yourself, and without a place to lay your head. Yeah, you won't survive. Yeah. So the caring of Jesus for our souls is why he does the other things, why he does the healings, the deliverances, the prosperity. So they are all included in the salvation of our souls. All of these things are all included. Yeah, but many preachers out there, they are trying to confuse the world, separating one from the other. Yeah, and this calls for wisdom. And where is the wisdom? That we should, the wisdom is that you should focus on what God really is focusing on, which is on the saving of your soul. And that if you focus on that, you will be sure that every other thing will be done by God. The prosperity, the healings, the deliverances, every other thing will be done by the same grace that is saving your soul. Yeah. So now, I think you understand. Yeah. I tend to spend much time on issues like this because, this is very important. I mean, because it is very important that you get it right at this level. Yeah, at the level of understanding what the kingdom of God is actually busy doing, what the kingdom of God is after. So if you can get it right that the kingdom of heaven is actually after your soul and nothing else, it will be very easy for you to enjoy your walk with God. And it will be very easy for you to serve God correctly as a preacher and as a minister or as a soul winner. Yeah. And it will be very easy for you to not fall into temptations and to not be a slave to money and every other thing that is in this world. So may the Lord give you more understanding. Yeah, so we're going to look at another scripture. Don't forget that the title of the teaching is Soul Winning and Discipleship Attracts a Lot of Angels. Soul winning and discipleship attracts a lot of angels. So which implies that those who are busy winning souls and discipling souls will have a lot of angelic visitations, angelic interventions, angelic encounters, angelic ministrations. Let us look at another scripture. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 15. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. You can see here that angels are directly involved in good news, in preaching good news. Yeah, because these shepherds, they knew nothing. They knew nothing about Jesus. They knew nothing about the fact that their Savior has just been born. Yeah, they knew nothing. But the angels came and delivered the good news and went back into heaven. So this is a biblical confirmation that angels are directly involved with the preaching of the good news. That is the preaching of the gospel. In fact, angels would have loved to do it like the way they did it to the shepherds in this passage. They would have loved to do the same all over the world. Yeah, they would have loved to do the same all over the world. But God has called us, you and I, to do this thing for Him. It is so easy for angels to do. Yeah, and they are all eager to do it. They really want to do it. Yeah, but it has been given to you and I to do. Yeah, then the angels will now support. The angels will continue from where we stop. Yeah. Or sometimes the angels, I'm still going to show you another scripture that confirms that. Sometimes the angels, they go first. And then now direct the person that go to that church and listen to the word of God there. Yeah, angels have done that several times. They will appear to people, tell them that their salvation is in the church, or their salvation will come through a preacher, through a man of God, and they will say, go there. Go to that place. Yeah, and when those people obey, the moment they get to that place, they will get saved. And they will have many other problems in their lives solved. Yeah, but angels will not take the full duty of evangelism because it is not their time. It is the time of human beings to do this work. Yeah, it is not their dispensation. It is the dispensation of human beings to go out and preach the gospel, then the angels will now support. Yeah. So if you are not preaching the gospel, you are missing a lot. And you are losing a lot. You are missing a lot. And you are losing a lot. If you are not preaching the gospel. Yeah, because the angels, they know how wonderful it is. So that is why many of them, if not all of them, they are eager. They want to be part of the story of redemption of mankind. They want to be part of the story of salvation of the world, of revival of nations. So angels, they can't wait to be part of it. And then you and I are taking it lightly. Yeah, what angels are so serious about and so excited about. Yeah, you don't even care. Yeah, so it's wrong to not get busy with soul winning. It's very wrong. It's very wrong. Let's look at another scripture. Yeah, you know, there's another scripture that says that there is joy in heaven over a sinner that repents. Yeah, that tells you how heaven is so excited about the issue of soul winning. Yeah. It didn't say there is joy in heaven over a sick person that is healed. It said over a sinner that repents. Yeah. So heaven takes seriously the things that really matter. But here on earth, we only take seriously things that don't matter. I mean things that doesn't matter. That's what we take seriously here. What a foolish generation we are. Yeah. And then the things that matters, we don't take them serious. We don't even remember. Yeah. But the things that don't really matter to God's kingdom, that is what many of us are dying to get. Dying to have. May God deliver this generation. Yeah. So the question is, will you get involved with things that really matter to God's kingdom? Or you just want to be like the other people in the world? Let us look at Acts chapter 16, verse 9 to 10. Acts 16, 9 to 10. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Yeah. So I've told you earlier that when it comes to visions, dreams, angels are involved. Yeah, you might not see the angel that is projecting the vision to your mind, to your spirit, to your heart. Yeah, or to your eyes. Yeah, but usually angels are involved in giving visions and prophetic dreams and divine revelations, even divine encounters. Angels are involved. So in this place, we saw how Paul received the vision of a man telling him and his missionary team to come over to Macedonia and help them. Yeah, and what help do the people in Macedonia need at that time is that the gospel be preached unto them. The gospel of the kingdom, that it, you know, that day we get to hear about Jesus. That's the gospel, to tell people about Jesus, especially that he saves souls from sin and from eternal damnation, and that he gives people eternal life. That's the message of the kingdom, and that is what Paul and his team have been going everywhere preaching and teaching. Yeah, one thing about Paul the Apostle is that he does not only preach, he also takes time to teach unto the people, unto the faith of the people, become strong in the Lord. So that is the spirit of a soul winner. Some people, they are very lazy. They say, yeah, Jesus wants me to preach the gospel. Okay, I will do it. So they just go out, preach and preach and preach and preach, and tell the people, now that you are saved, look for a living church. They think soul winning ends the day. No, soul winning does not end the day. In fact, you going out to preach the gospel is just like you doing like maybe 5% of what soul winning entails, or maybe 3% of what soul winning entails. Yeah, there's still a lot that soul winning entails that many people are not doing. So they say, I'm an evangelist, so all that I need to do is just to preach and preach and preach and lead people to Jesus. That's all. No, that is not all. Yeah, that is not all. In fact, that is just like 3% of soul winning. Yeah. Real soul winning starts from, what I want to say now is not even part of the, it's not part of the topic. It's part of it, but I'm not supposed to go into detail. Yeah. But I will go into detail for the sake of understanding. Now, real soul winning starts from your own personal life. Yeah, that's where soul winning starts from. It starts from your own personal life. That is, you making a permanent decision and determination to live your life for Jesus practically, both inside your heart and in your actions, in your dressing, in your appearance, in your way of life, in everything you do on daily basis. You making practical decisions to live for Jesus, to live righteous, to live holy. That is where soul winning starts from. So you being able to do that fulfills like 10% of soul winning, or even 20%. You've been able to live a pure and righteous and holy life. Fulfills like 20% of soul winning. Yeah. Then you going out is just a little percent going out to preach. Yeah, because if you don't live the life of Jesus, whatever you tell others to do is not going to work. If you are not doing what you are saying to others to do, if you are not standing firm in the Jesus you are telling others to come and receive, your preaching will not work. It will produce no result and no transformation in the lives of the people. So that is why soul winning starts from your own personal lifestyle. Yeah, the question is, does your personal lifestyle agree with the Word of God? Does it agree with the truth? Yeah, so that's where soul winning starts from. And then, of course, it also includes intercession. You spending time to pray for the salvation of souls of men. And not just few minutes, not just few hours, but long hours. With tears. Pleading with God to save souls of men. And to bring down revival. So you doing intercessions, that maybe fulfills like 40% of soul winning. Yeah. Now the rest percentage, which of course there might be more, the rest percentage has to do with teaching, discipleship. That is, after you have successfully get someone converted to Christianity, to the Christian faith, now you are able to follow the person up, teach the person precept upon precept, line upon line, all that the scripture teaches and command. So when you are able to teach people in detail all that the mind of God is, then you are likely to win their souls. Because I said it earlier, that what all of us have now is not complete salvation. What we have now is just initial salvation. Yeah, or maybe temporal salvation, because we are still proving our love for God. We are proving it. So every day your love for God is being tested. Your faith and trust in God is being tested every day. Yeah, your obedience to God's word is being tested every day. So we are proving all these things. We are proving with our lifestyle and actions that we love God, that we trust Him, that we obey Him. Yeah. So we are proving it. And we prove it till death or till rapture takes place. And then you will stand before God. And you'll be judged if you are worthy to enter into heaven or not. Yeah. You will be judged if you are worthy of His kingdom or not. So if you finally make it into His kingdom, that is when your salvation is complete. Yeah. The Bible tells us that it is appointed for a man to die once, and after that, judgment. That is in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. Yeah, that is it. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Yeah, so when after you have lived, you have lived this world, and then you face the judgment, and then you you were found righteous after facing the judgment, and then you now enter heaven. That is when your salvation is complete. That is when you are actually saved. Yeah. So if after you live here, then you face judgment, and then there's something that you have done wrong, then you're going to be sent to hell. Yeah, so that is it. So that is why if we call ourselves soul winners, we must continue until we have really done our best. We must continue in teaching the people all the mind of God, all the will of God, until we can be sure that they are fully matured and fully established in Christ. Then you would have done your own part. Then you would have done your best. Then it will now be between that person and God. I mean, the future of that soul will now be between the soul and God. But at least you would have done your best. Yeah, so that this is what soul winners, I mean real soul winners, do. This is what they do. Let's look at another scripture before we round off. Just one more scripture and then that's all. In Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Verse 3-6. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour. This is referring to Cornelius. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of the Lord coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So this is another biblical example of how angels are involved in evangelism. Yeah, the intention of the Lord was to get Cornelius and his entire household saved. Yeah, but the angel did not do the work. What he does was to lead Cornelius to the person God has chosen and anointed and called to do the work. Yeah. So angels are practically involved in soul winning. Yeah. So for some of us that we've gotten visions, revelations, instructions, directions, about preaching the gospel. I'm sure that angels were involved in those visions and directions that we got. Yeah, because they really want souls saved. Yeah, so even the feeling you have in your mind, that feeling that you have in your mind about talking to sinners, maybe the sinners in your neighborhood, the sinners in your environment, the sinners in your place of work, the sinners in your school. Yeah, that feeling, that burden you feel in your heart. The burden you feel in your heart to preach to them, to tell them about Jesus. I'm sure that burden has a lot to do with angels. And of course, has a lot to do with the Holy Spirit too. Yeah, because Holy Spirit also work together with angels. Yeah. So angels gives us they gives us even the zeal and the passion. There are some people that they cannot be okay. They can't be comfortable if they don't preach. They will just be restless if they don't preach the gospel. They will just feel so restless. Or maybe if they don't do something that has to do with soul winning, they will just feel restless. They won't be able to have peace. Yeah. So those feeling of restlessness, discomfort, feeling of burden in your heart as a Christian has a lot to do with angels, and of course has a lot to do with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Many people always share this testimony. They always say that when they newly gave their lives to Christ, the passion to go out and preach was so strong in their hearts. Yeah, that there's this strong passion in their heart to go out and preach, to tell others about Jesus, to tell others that, to warn others of the wrong things they are doing that will take them to hell. Yeah, but some of them, they say, as they continue to get busy with the things of this world, with the issues of life, they lost the passion. They lost the burden that they used to have in their hearts. Yeah, so the question for you is, do you at one time have that burden? And if yes, is the burden, the passion to bring people out of darkness, is it still there? Yeah, so if you have not had this burden ever, since you have come to know the Lord, you need to seriously go and pray and ask God to put that burden in your heart. The burden that wants to talk to everyone about Jesus and to warn everyone of the wrath of God that is coming and of hell. Yeah, so you need to pray that God give you that burden. And if you once had this burden, this passion, and now you can't even feel it again, you need to pray that God would deliver you from the darkness that has killed that burden. Yeah, because these things are part of our salvation. These are one of the ways through which we prove to heaven and God that you really belong to God's kingdom. I don't think you can can make heaven if you are not practically involved in soul winning? I don't believe so. It's not possible. Except maybe, let's say you give your life to Christ today and then you died. An hour after you give your life to Christ, maybe. But let's say you have given your life to Christ a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and then you have nothing to do with soul winning, and then you want to enter heaven. It's impossible. You can't. Now, so I believe God demands 100% involvement from you in soul winning. He wants you to be 100% involved in soul winning. Not just 5% or 20%. Some people, they say, my money will do it. I will just donate money to those that are winning souls. Yeah, I will just give them money. So my money should do it. God needs more than your money. He wants you to be fully involved. Of course, you might not do what people like us are doing for soul winning. I mean, the kind of assignment that people like me or people like missionaries, full-time missionaries, are doing to bring souls into God's kingdom. You might not have to do those things. Yeah, but even right there where you are, you have to talk about Jesus. You have to be involved. So it's not only your money that is needed. Your full participation is needed. Yeah, you must be fully involved. I mean fully involved. That is how you will prove your love for God. And that is how you will save your soul. You must be fully involved. Even in the little space you have found yourself. I pray that the Lord will give you more understanding. I'm going to stop here. Let me look at the answers to the question I asked. Yeah, the question I asked. Sister Moline said it was that the finger of God is as big as the whole world. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, especially that it's too big for the angel, for the demons to withstand. So when they see the finger of God, they become terrified because they know that it's either they run for their lives or they'll be crushed, grinded into powder, grinded or grounded into pieces. Yeah. And then Sister Bearden says, the finger of God is very huge. And that we should always visualize this every time we pray. Yeah, Luke 11 verse 20. Yeah, that's very true. We should use it as a weapon in spiritual warfare. For instance, you can say, let the finger of God appear in my life. Let the finger of God manifest in my life. To crush all the works of darkness into pieces. To crush all demons into pieces. Yeah, you can pray like that. Brother Charles says, just as we use our fingers to use the computer, God used the angels as his fingers to do divine acts on earth. Yes, I mentioned that too. God used angels as fingers to do his operations on earth. Even though my question was to remind me of the personal revelation that I had. Yeah, but what you have said also is part of the teaching, so which is very good, because now you have also reminded every one of us other things that I said during the teaching. Okay, so we are going to stop here. If you have any question based on today's teaching, you can ask on our Telegram group platform. And then get ready for another question next week. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your presence with us in this place as we patiently learn from you. Thank you for all the things you have taught us. I ask, O Lord, that give everyone here an obedient heart that remembers everything you have said today and obey them all. Give everyone here a very strong memory that remembers everything you have taught them, both the ones they have learned today and the ones they have learned in the previous Bible study classes. Lord, give everyone that strong memory to remember, and then give everyone the obedient heart to do these things you have revealed to us. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you that the passion to evangelize, the passion to be fully involved in soul winning, in everything that pertains to soul winning, may the Lord put that passion in your heart. In the name of Jesus, may the Lord give you that burden such that you start becoming uncomfortable until you preach the gospel and teach the gospel. May the Lord give you such passion in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.